Our reading this morning is from the Old Testament book of Judges. And if you were paying attention on Wednesday nights last month, you saw that Pastor Kevin was teaching on various judges, and one of the ones he taught on was Samson. And so I want to come behind that this morning and follow up behind a sermon on Noah as well. But we'll read here from the 13th chapter of the book of Judges, just a few pulled out verses. Once again, Israel sinned by worshiping other gods. So the Lord let them be conquered by the Philistines, who kept them in subjection for 40 years. Then one day the angel of the Lord appeared to the wife of Manoah of the tribe of Dan, who lived in the city of Zorah. She had no children. But the angel said to her, "Even though you've been barren so long, you will soon conceive and have a son. Don't drink any wine or beer, and don't eat any food that isn't kosher. Your son's hair must never be cut, for he shall be a Nazarite, a special servant of God from the time of his birth, and he will begin to rescue Israel from the Philistines." When her son was born, they named him Samson, and the Lord blessed him as he grew up. And the Spirit of the Lord began to excite him whenever he visited the parade grounds of the army of the tribe of Dan, located between the cities of Zorah and Eshtaol. And Father, we thank you for your word in print and Holy Scripture. We thank you for your word in flesh and Jesus Christ. Lord, speak to us now from your written word of your living word. For it's in his name that we do pray it. Amen and amen. As I mentioned last month, I preached a sermon on Noah. And the point of that sermon, the theme, the tagline, if you will, that I built around was simply this, that starting well does not guarantee finishing well. Starting well does not guarantee finishing well. And that sermon touched lots of you. Many of you responded. Some of you testified to jobs and relationships that had launched with a bang and then ended up in a whimper. Others of you shared stories that were laden with regret for what might have been. Something that started well, but it just went right down the tubes. And you're thinking back over what might have been. And in both cases, the phrase that I heard most often was, "If only, if only, if only." So today I want to revisit that teaching about everything that starts well doesn't finish well. I want to revisit that teaching. Instead of talking about Noah, I'm going to be talking about Samson as an example. And as I talk about Samson, I want you to realize I'm talking about you and I'm talking about me. The judges are like us. He was raised up at a time where the Philistines were oppressing the Israelites. God knows there's a lot of oppressing us today, isn't it? We're in a period of judges. We're in a period of time when everybody's doing what's right in their own eyes, not in God's eyes. And we'll see that played out in the life of Samson. And as I go through a bit of things that I'm pulling out from Samson, what I want you to emphasize, what I'm going to be emphasizing, what I want you to catch is the early missteps that Samson made. Missteps that he couldn't recover from. Missteps that gave rise to a tragic legacy. And I want you to hear about this because I don't want what happened to Samson to happen to you. So let's get started. As the text tells us, Samson was an only child, born late in life to godly parents. And after a visit from the angel of the Lord, Samson's parents saw his birth as a miracle. And so from the moment he was born, they dedicated their son to God, raising him to be a Nazarite, a Nazarite. And when he became of age to be a Nazarite, you took certain vows in addition to a vow to honoring God's law. And among those vows he took was a vow to never cut his hair. As we read the story of the book of Samson, in the book of Judges, it's clear that Samson's parents did their part. They did their part to give him a good start. And it's also clear that as Samson matured, he had a winning personality, had lots and lots of charisma, and he had great physical strength. It's also clear that the Lord's blessing was upon him. The text tells us clearly the Lord's blessing was upon him. And because the Lord's blessing was upon him, he had the potential to be a force for good among the people of God. Samson could have finished well. Had a good start, he could have finished well. He could have been one of the very special people in the history of the nation of Israel. But instead, he ended up as an embarrassment. So much so that Samson is remembered now, not for his character, but for his flaws. Not for his piety, but for his incredible ego. Not for his leadership, but for his immaturity. And my dear ones, Samson's legacy could be yours. What mistakes did Samson make that we would do well to avoid? Well, as I see it, Samson's first mistake was that he abandoned his religious heritage. Samson was raised in the same kind of home many of you were raised in. He was raised in a home where God was honored and prayers were said. But when he grew up, Samson turned his back on his upbringing, and he let worldly things become much, much more important to him. He started living in the fast lane, is what we would say today. And let me tell you, living in the fast lane will do things to you. Because when you're living in the fast lane, you only think about the moment. You're only thinking about the next thrill. You forget about the values that transcend time, the values that honor your Father in heaven. And you forget about the vows that you made. Samson made some vows. You forget about the vows you made to God and to others. Life in the fast lane. Recently, a friend traveled a long distance to come and see me. He was in lots of trouble. As he slumped down in the chair before me, he said, "Chuck, I know better. I wasn't raised to do that kind of thing. I wasn't raised to be that kind of person. I don't know what happened to me." Well, let me tell you, I've heard those same words countless times over the years. And there's a lesson in those words for parents. For parents. Listen up, parents. You can be good and godly parents, and your children may not follow your example. It happened to Samson's parents. They set a good example for him. They were good and godly people. Samson drifted away, see. Happened to Samson's parents? Could happen to you. And I know that has happened to many of you. And I know that because you've shared your family stories with me. You've shared the sense of failure that you feel when your children leave the straight and narrow that you raised them. And you see it. And you weep for them. But hear me, parents. In the midst of your tears when your child's going astray, take this to heart. If you did your best to raise your child in a good and godly home, and you did all that you could do and all that you should do to give your child a God-honoring start in this world, then aside from continued prayer, that's all you can do. Because you see, at some point, your child's got to grow up. Your child's got to take responsibility for herself or himself. And if by chance there's someone here today or someone who's watching who was raised in a godly home, and you realize that like Samson, you have drifted from your spiritual roots, if that's you, then hear me clearly. It is not your parents' fault. You're responsible for the choices that you've made. You're responsible for the person that you have become. And it's time for you to grow up. Now, not only did Samson abandon his religious heritage, he also abandoned his holy calling. In the text that I just read from the book of Judges, we learned that Samson was set apart from birth to help deliver God's people from their worldly enemies, specifically the Philistines. But Samson turned his back on his holy calling. How do you do that? How do you turn your back on your holy calling? Well, Samson turned his back on his holy calling just like you and I do. He slowly transitioned from doing things God's way to doing things his way. He gradually became more interested in pleasing himself than in pleasing God. You see, when Samson abandoned his holy heritage and his holy calling, in essence, Samson abandoned God. And when he abandoned God, he started making the choices to do what was right in his own eyes instead of what was right in God's eyes. And you know what happened to Samson? He ended up blind and dead. And the same thing can happen to you. Now, the question is not so much how did Samson abandon his holy calling, but why did he do it? Why did he turn his back on that holy calling? Why? Well, you don't get very far in the story of Samson before you begin to realize that Samson's priorities were all out of order. All out of order. His primary focus was on satisfying his physical desires. What's your primary focus? What's driving you these days? Let me give you a quick example of Samson's focus on satisfying his physical desires. One day, Samson saw a good-looking Philistine woman, and when he saw her, his hormones just started raging. In those days, marriages were arranged by parents. And so Samson went to his father and mother and told them about the Philistine woman. And then, despite their objections, Samson said, "She's the one I want. Get her for me." Now, at that moment, clearly, Samson was not thinking about his responsibility to God. Neither was he thinking about his responsibility to the people of Israel. No, no, no. Samson was only thinking about satisfying his own lust. Friends, in life there are two tensions that are always pulling at us, two tensions that are always causing us stress. One is the tension to please ourselves. And if we give into that, we'll become totally self-centered like Samson was. The second is the tension to please others. And if we concentrate too much on being a people pleaser, we'll completely lose our identity. We've got to keep a healthy balance between those two, between pleasing ourselves and pleasing others. And the thing is, the only way you're going to keep that healthy balance is it by giving God the top priority in your life. That's the consistent biblical teaching. That God has to be number one. And if he's not number one, you can't keep the other things in balance. Your life's going to be all balled up. Now, numerous places in the scriptures, the idea that God is supposed to be preeminent in our lives is underscored. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, what the Hebrews call the Shema. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with what? With some of your heart, part of it. No, it says with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength." Number one. Number one. And then Paul in the New Testament, in numerous places, I'm just going to highlight three, he speaks to the same thing about this preeminence that God is supposed to have in our lives. He says, so we make it our goal to please God. From 1 Thessalonians. We're not trying to please people. We're trying to please God. And then in Galatians, he says, "If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ." See, that's one of the hallmarks of being a faithful Christian. You've got right priorities in your life. God's number one. And there's a balance between serving yourself and serving others. But see, Samson wasn't interested in pleasing God or anyone else for that matter, because Samson was focused entirely on himself. What would life look like if you had this balance? What would that look like? If God was first, then you had a balance between loving yourself and loving others. What would life look like? See? Because I think it's often helpful if we can get from the theoretical into practical examples of things. So I want to give you some practical examples of right ordered living that I've witnessed right here among the membership of this parish over the years. Two members, men living in Sun City. They took turns transporting their neighbor, also a member, back and forth to Beaufort three times a week for dialysis treatment. Drive him over in the morning, stay there 3 hours waiting on him and bring him home. They did that for 2.5 years until he died. The gentleman who digs our graves in the columbarium on the bluff on Calhoun Street. Each time he digs one of the holes in the columbarium, when it's over with, when he digs the hole, he stops and he writes a personal handwritten note, a note of sympathy addressed to the family whose loved one's ashes are going to be put in that hole. He's not thinking about himself, is he? No. What motivates him? God's love. A young lady about to celebrate her 11th birthday, who tells her family and friends that instead of getting birthday presents for her, she would rather them give her canned food so then she can turn around and give it to the food bank. Pretty special. A man who for years attended our 10 o'clock service on the historic campus on Sunday morning, all of a sudden changes and starts coming to the 5:28 service on Saturday afternoon. Why does he do that? So that he can spend his Sunday mornings sitting with an autistic child so that that child's parents can come worship right here. A lady with no children, volunteering to help underprivileged children in an after-school program on Hilton Head. And she did it for years. A husband and wife leaving their thriving careers to go and minister to indigenous people on a faraway island for 2 years. I can go on and on. I see it all the time. Right ordered living is not rare. Not rare at all. I see it all the time. I don't need to tell you anymore. You get the idea. Because see, when our priorities are in a right order, our lives are going to be focused on pleasing God. And as we please Him, invariably, we're going to be pleasing ourselves and pleasing others. But there's no way that you're going to have that right balance apart from God giving the priority, being given the priority in your life. Now, why do you reckon Samson abandoned his religious heritage and his holy calling? Why do you think he did that? I think he did it for the same reason that many of us have abandoned our religious heritage and our holy calling. I think he abandoned because he started running with the wrong crowd. How about you? What crowd are you running with these days? See, Samson was a Hebrew man, but he started spending time with Philistine men, and he liked Philistine women. My friends, you start running with the wrong crowd and you run right into peer pressure. And peer pressure is as subtle as it is real. Samson began running with the wrong crowd, and then slowly but surely, he began to dress like them. He began to talk like them. He began to think like them. He began to behave like them. He began to believe like them. And it can happen to anyone. And I bet a lot of you have the scars to prove it. Samson was the strongest man in the world, see? And as the strongest man in the world, he thought he could withstand the siren call to conform to the crowd's mores. Strongest man in the world. He thought he could withstand the pressure to go along, to get along. But apart from God, Samson could not. And neither can you. So some 20 years ago. A troubled couple came to see if there was any way in the world they could put their marriage back together again. The husband admitted right up front that he'd been unfaithful many, many times. Many, many times. He said, "I'll take all the blame. I'll take all the blame." And then he started talking in way too much detail about some of the affairs that he'd had. His wife is right there now. As he starts this braggadocious kind of talking, the tears start coming. And after a few minutes, she interrupted. And she said, "But Father, I still love him. I've never stopped loving him." And let me tell you, when that man heard those words of grace and realized how much his wife loved him and how little he deserved it, it hit him like a bullet in the chest. And the tears started coming. And then he was down on his knees before his wife apologizing. Undeserved love. Grace. Grace. My dear ones, I believe there are some Samsons here today, either in person or online. Women and men who were dedicated to God in baptism. Women and men who were raised by godly parents, who were raised in homes where God was honored and prayers were said. Men and women who had the potential to influence God's people for good. But somewhere along the way, they started listening to themselves and listening to others instead of God. And today they feel like they're lost. Like they're blindly wandering through life. And down deep, they want to break society's hold. And they want to reclaim that godly heritage. Perhaps you're one of those Samsons. Well, if so, listen with your heart. And you'll hear God's still small voice saying to you, "I still love you. I've never stopped loving you. Come on. Please come home." Or better yet, in your mind's eye, see Jesus hanging on Calvary's cross, silently screaming to you with his outstretched arms, "I still love you. I've never stopped loving you. Come on. Please come on." Oh, my dear ones, there's nothing that you've ever done or nothing that you will ever do that can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. By God's grace, you can come home. It's never too late, never too late to return to the God and Father of us all. Today's the day. Now's the time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there's a sense that we're all like that husband who trampled over his wedding vows, who pushes his commitments to his wife and children aside like they were nothing. Fella thought he was Samson, that the whole world revolved around him. He could do what he wanted to do. His whole aim was to please himself. Satisfies physical desires. Samson. Lord, we come before you this morning, and we're all Samsons. Nobody here is clean. Every one of us have had times when our number one priority was to please ourselves. We all know what lust is. We all know that there have been times when we've succumbed to the pull of the crowd. We've done things that down deep we knew we should not do just because we wanted to please other people. Lord, forgive us. Help us to hear anew. Let the words of your grace hit us like a bullet that takes us to our knees and the tears of repentance start to flow. Come, Lord Jesus, take us down so that we know the joy of being raised up. Let us hear your words of love, that you never stop, and you're never going to stop loving us. Call us home and give us the courage to go home. In your name we do pray it, Lord. Amen and amen.